Good to see all of you here in person. Good to see those of you online as well. Thank you for tuning in. Wherever you're tuning in from today, we welcome you. Well, it is a great Sunday, not just because the sun is shining, but it's also the final round of the Masters Tournament. Come on, somebody. It's a good day. My golf fans, it's a great weekend for that. But if you were here last week for Easter, man, we had an awesome Easter. God did some awesome things, and we kicked off this series called The Comeback and essentially laid the foundation for what it really means to experience new life in Christ. That if it wasn't for the life of Jesus, his death, and his resurrection, we could not experience a comeback. And in fact, it was the setback of the crucifixion that set up the comeback of the resurrection. And in life, we're going to face comeback or setbacks, and it's how we respond to those that will decide whether or not we can experience a comeback. And I want to tell you something. I know for me this week, and it probably is the same for you, that whenever you take a step of faith towards God in the plan for your life, that whenever you take a step towards the success of what God has for you, it will be met with opposition. That the enemy will turn up the heat and he will come against you and try to get you to go right back to where you were. Because the devil doesn't want an on fire going after God Christian. He wants a complacent Christian who's content with just sitting on the sidelines and not engaging with their faith. And so this week for me, as I preached that message on Monday, got some difficult news. And it was a definite setback. And I was discouraged. And so I went home and Jess knew what was going on. And she just said, well, hey, maybe this setback is a setup for God to do something big. And I said, yeah, I don't want to hear it, right? I don't want to hear it. I want to whine right now, right? You're my wife, and I'm allowed to whine to you, okay? I'm not going to whine to anyone else, but I'm going to whine to you. And she was trying to encourage me. And today, I want to encourage you too. Listen, your desire and your faith will be met with opposition. There will be setbacks in life, even when you've decided to pursue God and to go after God. You will experience setbacks. But there's some confidence that Scripture gives us. You know, we say this word in our English language a lot, hope, right? Hope. I hope you have a good day. Hope you have a great birthday, right? Like we say hope all the time. Hope it goes well for you. And in our English dictionary, that word pretty much just means maybe. Like hopefully, like maybe it'll go good, maybe it won't, but hey, we're hopeful it will go good. But in Scripture, right, the word hope, whenever you see it, it means certainty. But not just any certainty, it's what the Bible would describe as it's an assurance with anticipation. That's what faith is. That's what hope is. There's an assurance. I know who God is. I know what God said. I know what God can do, and I am anticipating that God is going to do it because the Word of God gives me that strength. It gives me the ability to hope. You know, you'll hear people say things like this. Like I'll say it to my kids. They'll be like, Dad, can we do that? I'll be like, don't get your hopes up. Can we do that? Don't get your hopes up. Right? Our world say it all the time. Hey, just don't get your hopes up. Listen, I believe you're here today, and because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because you've decided to pursue him and the plan you have for your life, let me tell you something. You can always get your hopes up. You should always get your hopes up. You should always be anticipating with insurance that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. In fact, why don't you look at your neighbor and say, come on, today, get your hopes up. God has something for you today. Get your hopes up online. Type that in the chat. Get your hopes up. Encourage someone today. In fact, share this right now with someone else so they too can get their hopes up this morning. But listen to me. There's hope for your marriage. Get your hopes up for your marriage. It can change. With God, anything is possible. Get your hopes up for your financial situation. It can turn around. If you become obedient to the Word of God, if you obey the Word of God, you can have assurance with anticipation that God will do what he said he's going to do. That is what faith is. That's what it means to have faith. You got to have faith. You got to get your hopes up for your child. They will not always be the way they are. Come on, somebody, right? They will mature. For some of you, you got a prodigal. They will come back. You got to believe with faith. You have to have an assurance with anticipation that God can change your situation. Your child doesn't have to be on the spectrum. They don't have to be behind in school. They don't have to stay there. They don't have to always have a 10 ADHD, whatever it is, right? Don't accept that. Believe in faith that God can do. Get your hopes up this morning. But you got to feed your faith. You got to make sure you're You're starving your fears and feeding your faith. You got to believe for more. You got to be willing to fight for more. You see, for a comeback to be possible, we know what's possible. Jesus made a way for you to experience life and life to the full in him. A comeback is always possible, but you have to believe that it's possible. You have to believe, right? Any good comeback, right? In a game, the team doesn't go, oh, well, we lost, it's over. Well, we might as well just give up. It's halftime, but we're down by so much, let's just quit, right? For any good comeback to happen, the team, the individual, first has to believe that it's possible, and then they got to be willing to fight for it. They have to believe it, and then they have to fight for it. Otherwise, it won't happen. There's a story of a nameless woman in Scripture that we're going to get to in just a second. But before we do that, I've been sharing, last week I shared the comeback of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and this week I thought I would up the ante a little bit, okay? I thought I'd bring it a little bit better. And if you know me, you know I've never seen a Star Wars episode or movie. Never seen it. Never seen it. Just look at me right now, some of you, right? I'm like in like the 1% club of Americans, and I'm staying in it. I'm not going to do it. I'm determined. One, I don't have that much time to start and to do that, right? I've never gotten into Lord of the Rings, right? I like to watch movies that can happen in real life, okay? My poor wife, she loves Marvel. She loves all those things, you know? And it's like me watching that is like her watching sports. I just have to like fight my way through it. And I'll just talk bad about the movie the whole time. Like, this is so dumb. That could never happen in real life. Like, she's like, it's a movie. It's designed for your entertainment. But one series of movies that I've loved and that I've seen all of them, Rocky, come on, right? Any Rocky fans in the house? This is real, right? Like there is a statue of Sly still to this day celebrating Rocky, right? And in Rocky 3, if you know the story, Rocky has success in the first, you know, and he's enjoying the success. He's defended his title as heavyweight champion multiple times, but the success is starting to get to him. And he begins to kind of settle back in his training, and he has a big fight against Clubber Lang, a.k.a. Mr. T, right? You better pity the fool, right? Mr. T. And he's about to fight Clubber Lang, and his trainer is going, you're not ready for this. This guy is young, he's hungry, and he is going to beat you. You can't win. And Rocky's like, I got it, no big deal. And then they have the altercation before they go to the ring. Mickey's like having a heart attack. Rocky goes out and gets knocked out in the second round. Mr. T just wipes the floor with him. And then Rocky's down and out. Mickey dies. He's kind of wallowing in his defeat. And against all odds, Apollo Creed, who Rocky had beat to become the champion, meets Rocky in the gym. And he begins to talk to Rocky about, hey, I think I can help you come back. Like, it's not time to quit. It's not time to retire. And he's like, Apollo, what do you want to do? And he just says, listen to me. The one thing that you need to do is you need to get your edge back. And then he has the quote, he says, you need to get the eye of the tiger back, Rocky. You had something. There was a look in your eye when you beat me that's not there. And you got to get the eye of the tiger back. Come on, somebody's singing that song in your head right now, right? You're singing it. He says, you got to get your edge back, Rock. And if you do that, if you start to believe in yourself again, and if you're willing to fight for your comeback, it can happen. But Rocky had to do two things. He had to first believe that he could come back. And then he had to be willing to train, to discipline, and to fight, literally fight, for his comeback. It is no different for you. God has made a way where there was no way. God has made his strength available to you. He has made victory available to you. You can come back from whatever has knocked you out, but listen to me. You gotta believe it, and you gotta fight for it. There was a nameless woman in Scripture who was willing to fight for her comeback. And maybe you're here today and you feel like you're nameless, that God doesn't know you. And this story will encourage you today that he does know you. He sees you. He knows exactly where you're at. And if you will pursue him, if you will be obedient to what Scripture calls you to do with your life, he will do something great through you. Your comeback can happen. A nameless woman in the gospel is suffering. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25, it says that a woman in the crowd, Jesus is on his way. There's a crowd of people around him. He's traveling to actually, he had an appointment with someone else. Jairus' daughter was sick, and Jesus was on his way to heal her. This man had come, sought Jesus. Jesus says, I will go with you. They're on their way to heal him, and there's a big crowd of people following Jesus at this time. And it says that a woman was in the crowd, and she had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors over the years and had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had only gotten worse. The issue that this woman had, continual bleeding, would render her ceremonially unclean, according to Leviticus 15. The law would consider her an outcast. She was isolated from human contact. Not only is she unclean, but her touch would render anyone unclean that she would touch, as well as anything she touches. She would defile the very bed that she slept upon. She would defile the very chair that she would sit upon. Given the ease in which a man could divorce his wife at this time, her husband is seemingly long gone. And her condition would make it impossible for her to find any sort of job, even as a household servant. She's broke. She's in pain. She has no hope. She is a social outcast. For 12 years, she bore the emotional and psychological baggage of being unclean, untouchable, no physical touch from anyone. Could you imagine? She sat alone in isolation in her home, staring at the wall. For all intents and purposes, this woman was as good as dead. Spent everything she had trying to find healing, and only got worse. The doctors said, look, there's nothing more we can do for you except what it is. This is who you are. This is what it is. Maybe you've been looking for fulfillment in all the wrong places. Maybe you've been trying to fill the void in your life with status and promotion. Maybe you've been trying to fill the void of your life with success and sex and drugs and alcohol, and there's addiction. There's things in your life that you never thought would be there because you've been trying to fill a void that only Jesus was meant to fill in your life. And maybe you too have run out of options like this woman because she had tried everything and there was no cure for her. She couldn't fix herself. And listen to me, maybe that's where you're at. And let me tell you something, you can't fix yourself either. You can't fix it or fill it. You can't fix the problem on your own. You can't fill the void on your own. And you can keep trying all you want, but today God is telling you, quit trying to fill a void in your life that only I can fill. If you will pursue me, if you will become obedient to what I've called you to do and who I've called you to be, you can live life to the full. You can be fulfilled in life, but I'm telling you, you can't do it and the world won't do it for you. So quit trying that. She had tried everything she had, spent all she had, and still was stuck in her situation. But how many of you know desperate times calls for desperate measures? Some of you today, you need to get desperate for your comeback. You're watching online. You need to get desperate for your comeback. You've been sitting behind a screen. You've been Zooming all the time. Maybe you feel like this woman, that you've been in isolation. You haven't been around people. You've been afraid to interact with people. You need to get bold about the comeback that God has for you. Don't settle for your current state. God doesn't want you to sit in your situation. He wants you to get desperate for a comeback today. And if you will get desperate for a comeback, God will meet you right where you're at today. This one thing this woman hadn't tried, there was a glimmer of hope when she began to hear about Jesus. In verse 27, it says she had heard about Jesus. Maybe that's where you've been at. You heard about Jesus. You've thought about Jesus. You've heard that Jesus has done things for others, that he's intervened in marriages and brought restoration, that he's turned financial situations from around and brought people out of debt, that God can do those things, but you've just heard about it. But she wasn't just content with just hearing about it. She wanted to do something about it. And so she heard about Jesus, and so she came up behind him through the crowd, and she touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. You see, she had heard about Jesus. She had heard there was hope. She began to seek after her hope. Jesus was, again, on his way to help someone else. He had an appointment, and maybe you thought that is how God is for you. Well, he's done it for them, but he can't do it for me. He could do that in someone else's life, but God surely won't be able to do that in my life. But this woman, she believed the opposite. Remember what we said hope was. She had an anticipation, an assurance. that God could do something, that Jesus could do for her what she had heard he had done for someone else. Her faith became active. She began to pursue Jesus. She said, if I could just touch his robe, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, maybe he'll heal me. And see, she believed the opposite of what many of you are believing, that he won't do it for me. She believed he's done it for them. Why can't he do it for me? She knew if she could just get to Jesus, because she knew Jesus, listen, Levitical law said he could not touch her. She would never think that this rabbi would touch her. She didn't know Jesus well. She didn't know that he would touch lepers, that he would bring the outcasts of society into his tribe and do life with them. She didn't know that about Jesus. She thought, here is this rabbi who has become wildly popular. There's no way he can touch me. But she said, but maybe I can touch him. He can't touch me, but maybe I can touch him. If I could only touch him. You see, she had a faith that was willing to fight. She believed that Jesus could do it, but then she fought for her miracle. She fought for what she needed. And you need a faith that's willing to fight too. Look at your neighbor and say, you gotta fight. Come on, online, type that in the chat right now. You gotta be willing to fight. A faith that's willing to fight. Nothing gets stronger without resistance. Nothing. Your marriage won't get stronger. Your purpose won't get stronger. Your dream won't get stronger. You need a faith that's willing to fight so that it can grow. And if you want to experience a comeback, if you want to experience the reality of who Jesus is and the plan and the purpose he has for your life, you got to be willing to fight too. It's not going to be handed to you. This woman had to fight through the crowd of people that are around Jesus. And maybe there's a crowd around you. Maybe there's some things that you got to fight through. Maybe you got to fight through the crowd of the facts. That the facts, the odds are against you. That your present circumstance stands in clear contradiction of the hope you have. But how many of you know we serve a fact-defying God? He defies facts all the time. There's someone in our church right now whose sister's husband is fighting a battle, had a rare condition that popped up. He's still in the hospital. And they said, man, there's really not a lot of hope. We just kind of got to wait and see. But they were expecting him to not recover in so many ways. And last week in the lobby, I talked to his aunt, and she said, we're witnessing a miracle. We're witnessing it. The church has been praying. People have been loving on him, serving him, praying for him. She says, we are fighting in faith and believing. They were going to send him out of state. They said, we don't need to do that. We think you're going to recover. The doctor said, we haven't seen anything like it. Defying the facts of every other case of the person who's had this condition. He's a fact-defying God. You got to fight through the crowd of your feelings. You may feel like God can't help you. I'm too far gone. I've always had this issue. I'll never change. My parents were this way. It's how I'm going to be. Anxiety runs in the family. Depression runs in the family. I'm never going to be a good parent. I'm never going to be a good husband. I'm never going to be able to love my husband the way he needs me to love him. I'm not lovable myself. This job, this career, it's dead end, but man, it's what I got. And your feelings are dictating how you're living your life. But Scripture says we don't live by how we feel. We live by our faith. Our faith is hope and certainty in what God says will happen, will happen. And we got to step out in faith and overcome and fight through the facts and the feelings, the crowd of your failures. The enemy loves to bring your past back up, doesn't he? Oh yeah, good for you. You went to church. You came, you're watching online. You made a step. You raised your hand. You made a commitment. But we all know who you really are. We know what you did. We know who you used to be. You're not going to be able to overcome that. And the failures of our past continue to keep us down and out. Continue to keep us laying on the mat in the ring, not willing to get up to fight another round. Listen, you cannot disqualify yourself from the plan and purposes of God for your life. There's nothing you can do to change how God feels about you. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. There's nothing you can do to make him love you less. He is love, and he loves you, and he has a plan for your life, and his grace is available for you. Fight. Fight for it. Fight through the crowd of your fears. You're afraid to come close to Jesus. I imagine this woman was. Can imagine she could have let fear hold her back from getting close to Jesus, but she said, man, I don't care if he rejects me. I don't care if he gets mad at me. Man, I need him to do something. You got to fight through your fear. I think oftentimes we have too many excuses of why we can't do what God's called us to do. I don't know about you, but when my kids give me excuses, I always say one thing to them. I said, excuses are like, I'm going to tell you, some of you need to clean it up. I cleaned it up. Excuses are like armpits. Everybody's got a couple and they stink, right? I don't want to hear your excuses. This is what I told you to do, right? When I tell my kids to do something. What happens when a kid's obedient to their parent, right? The blessing of the parent follows the child. And God is, I think, sometimes just gets fed up with our excuses. Well, I can't, God. I don't know, God. I can't, God. What if God just looked at you like you did your kid and said, hey, excuses are like armpits. Everybody's got a couple and they stink. Do you not realize who I am? Do you not know what I can do? Fight. Get in the game. Don't sit idle on the sidelines. This woman wasn't going to let anything keep her from her only hope. She was desperate for a comeback. And she had faith that was willing to fight. So you got to be willing to do something. But for some of you, you can't control the person that you need to fight with you. And they're not engaged in the battle. So what do? You fight in prayer for them. You can't change them, but God can. So you need to fight in prayer. The battle is often won before we even get active. You got to pray first. You got to seek God. You got to believe in faith. Then you got to do something. We don't stay on our knees. We got to get up and engage in the fight. This woman had to get up, pursue Jesus. She was willing to fight. And then in verse 29, it says immediately. Everybody say immediately. Immediately. Come on. God can do for you in a moment what this world could never do for you. She had tried for 12 years. Every doctor had failed. And where men had failed, Jesus succeeded immediately. In 12 years, she couldn't figure it out. And Jesus did in a moment what this woman needed. It said the bleeding stopped. She could feel in her body that she had been healed of this terrible condition. I want to tell somebody today, you go, well, Kyle, man, this has been longer than 12 years for me. I've been battling this addiction. I've been in this fire. I've been dealing with this for my whole life. It isn't going to happen. I believe because of the grace of God, not because of you, not because of what you can do, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. He has already claimed the victory in your life when he hung on that cross and he said, it is finished. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory today. And you need to believe that by his grace, that it's not going to take you as long to get out of the situation as it took you to get into it. That immediately he healed her. Immediately God can do something in your life. If you have a faith that's willing to fight, Jesus says what is impossible for people is possible with God. You know, there's times when people delay going to the doctor. They're sick, they're not feeling well, and they delay a long time, and sometimes they get to the doctor. And the doctor would say, hey, this is what you have, and unfortunately, because it's so late in the disease, it's so late in the illness, there's not a lot we could do. And they would say things like this, you should have come to me sooner. But because you didn't come to me sooner, there's nothing that I can do. But the grace of God says that he can heal those who come to him late. That even if he's your last resort this morning, and you're online, and you're going, this is it, this is my last ditch effort. I'm throwing up a Hail Mary, man. This is a half-court shot. And I'm just going to throw it up, man. I'm believing for God to do something. I don't know what it is, but there's something about God that he loves exciting finishes. You want to know why? Because when God steps in, even when it's late in the game for you, man, does he get some glory. Does he get to show off his strength? Does he get to work through your weakness? He receives you no matter what. It's never too late. Verse 30, it said Jesus had realized that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned in the crowd and he asked, who touched my robe? His disciples looked at him and they said, Jesus, look at all these people pressing around you. They said, how can you even ask who touched me? And I was wondering at this moment, like, why didn't Jesus was on his way to heal someone else and this little girl was dying. She wasn't dead yet. And she would end up dying, and Jesus would end up raising her from the dead. But she wasn't dead yet. They were hurrying. I can imagine Jairus, her dad is going, Jesus, why are you stopping, man? Hey, we got to go. We got to keep moving, right? But Jesus stops. He could have just, this woman was healed. It was done. She knew that he healed him. She could have just kept walking. So he stopped. Why does he stop? It goes on. It says verse 32, but he kept on looking around to see who had touched him. Then this frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. She fought through her fear. Thank God she did, because she comes face to face with the Savior of the world. And what does he say to her? This was the most important sentence he could have said to her. First of all, he says, daughter, you've been living in isolation. No one has claimed you. No one will love you. Your husband's gone. You have nobody left, but I want you to know something. You are my daughter. You are my kid. And that's why I stopped. You were already healed, but I stopped because you need to know that you're my child. He says, your faith, a faith that's willing to fight, your faith because it became active, the faith that got you up off the couch to press through the crowd, to come and touch me, that faith has made you well. So go in peace. I'm not going to condemn you. Yes, you broke Levitical law, but your suffering is over. You will suffer no more. You see, you got to be willing to make a move. And Jesus accepted this woman. He said, who touched me? Think about that. He didn't touch her. And all the other healing, Jesus would touch them. He would lay hands on them. But he didn't touch her. And he said, it is your faith. It is what you did that made you well. It was because you touched me, because you were willing to have a faith that would fight. It is what you did that made you whole. And listen to me, your faith in Jesus, your belief in him, your hope in him has to become active in order to be effective. You have to activate your faith. Some of you, you've been sitting, you believe, but you're not active in faith. You're not active in serving in God's kingdom. You're not seeing any miracles in your life because you're not running through to Jesus. You're not pressing through any crowds. You're sitting at home. You're on the sidelines. And God said, I got so much more for you. Believe for more. Fight for more. Don't settle for your current situation. Activate your faith in my kingdom and just see what I will do. You see, your situation won't change until you do something. You have to do something. Seek and you will find. Look at all the scripture. Draw close to him. Seek him. Pursue him. And he'll move. Jesus didn't just heal her physical condition. He called her daughter. He healed her emotional and spiritual condition. It was the isolation and spiritual death she experienced day after day that had literally ruined her life. And Jesus stopped and publicly exposed this healing so that he could give her what she needed most. Affirmation, love, acceptance. And he healed the longing of her soul to belong. And she went from isolation to affirmation because she now had a relationship with the Son of God. And Jesus made a way so that you could know your Father in heaven. And today he sees you and he calls you son and he calls you daughter. And he says, if you'll just have a faith that'll be willing to fight, I can do the impossible through you. But you can't just sit on the sidelines. You got to get back in the ring to experience your comeback. The band's going to come and we're going to close out. And today, I hope that you feel and that we can learn from this woman's story that there's hope for your comeback, right? Hope, certainty, that you can come back. There's a certainty that's in your heart this morning that says, I can come back. But listen, you got to go grab hold of your hope. You got to get active and go after Jesus. She went and grabbed hold of her hope. She was going to fight through any crowd that got in her way because she was desperate for a comeback. And you may be desperate for God to move in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your career, but you got to go grab hold of it. He's made a way so that you can. And let me tell you something, when you grab hold of it, don't let go. You grab hold of him and you never let go of him. You engage in the word you engage in worship, you engage in serving, you actively get involved in what God is doing in the world and just see what he will do. That's why I tell you this every week. You got to get in a group and on a team. You got to. Why? Because listen, it's so much easier to fight because that's what we're in, friend. The devil, as much as God is for you and God has given you the victory that you can win, you still are going to have to fight. You are in a battle. And how many of you know it's easier to fight when you got some people in your corner with you? I believe Rocky lost because Mick wasn't in his corner. His corner man wasn't there. There was no one to encourage him, and he gets knocked out, and Mick goes away. But what did Rocky have to do? He had to get somebody else in his corner who was going to inspire him and motivate him and spur him along, the scripture said, to do what God has called you to do. And if you don't get the right people in your corner, if you don't get the right people in your life, man, I don't know if you'll make it. I know I wouldn't. You need people who are going to fight with you. You got to have somebody in your corner, because how many of you know there's going to be times when you don't feel like fighting anymore? That you got to depend on others to fight with you in the ring of life. That's why you got to get in a group and on a team. Hebrews tells us that when you flee to him, when you seek after God as your refuge, that you can have great confidence, that you can know God is going to move as you hold on to the hope, the certainty that lies before you. And this hope, this certainty that we have in Jesus is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. You got to have a faith that's willing to fight. Don't hold out for hope, right? Some of you, I'll just hold out. I'm holding out for hope. I'm hoping. No. You gotta go grab hold of hope. You gotta fight for hope. You gotta have a faith that's willing to fight, an active faith. As you take steps towards your destiny, you will be met with opposition. You gotta get other people in your corner who are fighting with you, who are fighting for you, that you can experience a comeback if you don't hold out for hope, but you go grab hold of it. So today, don't just get motivated with a good speech. If you were here last week, you get that. Do something. Activate your faith. See what God will do. I think miracles are in the works today. If people will believe, but not just believe, they'll fight for what's rightfully theirs. I'm going to invite you to stand today. We're going to sing this song that we sang earlier just one more time. Listen, you can't fix it on your own. Let me just tell you, don't fight alone. The enemy, if you go in your own strength, he will clean your clock. But with God, come on, anything is possible. Fight with him. Take a step towards him today. Get your eyes off of your problem. Get your eyes onto Jesus. Our purpose, the promise of God, is available for you if you'll have a faith that's willing to fight.